Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're going to tackle one of the most high-pressure roles in any company, the chief financial officer. You know, for so long, the CFO has been sort of stuck as the company historian, always reporting on what happened last quarter.
Right, looking in the rearview mirror.
Exactly. And in today's markets, that's just a recipe for disaster. Effective financial leadership has to be proactive. It has to be strategic. And, well, it needs a whole new playbook.
That is absolutely the tension that's driving our deep dive today. We're pulling our insights from the CFO Strategic Dashboard, insights and templates for value creation.
Okay.
And this isn't just, you know, a bunch of spreadsheets. It's a structured guide built on 15 templates, all designed to pivot the CFO from that reactive reporting to proactive value creation.
So our mission is to basically distill that roadmap for you.
That's the goal.
All right, so we're giving the CFO a new operating system. Let's outline how we're going to do this. We've broken it down into four key pillars. First, we'll start with the immediate fight, real-time health and risk monitoring.
The day-to-day.
Then we'll look to the future with forward-looking forecasting. Third, we get to the good stuff, the engine of growth, strategic drill downs for profitability. And finally, we'll wrap up with governance and communication, because a great strategy that no one understands is, well, useless.
All right, let's jump in.
Okay, let's unpack that first piece, the operational focus. If you want to create value, you first have to stop problems before they spiral out of control. How does this dashboard recommend getting that real-time view of a business's health?
The breakthrough is really about two things: frequency and selection. The source's core recommendation is to monitor a compact set of leading KPIs weekly.
Weekly.
Weekly. You know, finance teams used to wait for the month-end close. By then, a bad trend isn't a trend anymore. It's a fact.
It's already happened.
Right. The power of weekly leading indicators is you're spotting the smoke before you see the fire.
Let me push back on that a bit, though. Tracking weekly KPIs. That sounds like a ton of work for an already busy finance team. How do you justify that without just, you know, paralyzing everyone's reporting? What does a compact set even mean here?
The justification is efficiency of attention. You're not tracking everything. You're just tracking the things that tell you where you might need to dig deeper. Think of them as alerts.
Okay, give me an example.
For margin health, obviously you look at net profit margin. But watching it weekly gives you these immediate alerts for margin compression. That might be a signal that costs are creeping up somewhere in the supply chain.
And what else?
Another huge one is return on assets, or ROA.
And for those of us who aren't living in balance sheets, break that down. Why ROA?
ROA is just a pure measure of how efficiently you're using your assets to make money. So let's say your profits are going up, but your ROA is dipping. That's an early warning sign. It might mean you just invested a ton in new equipment that isn't really pulling its weight yet. You might be overcapitalized. And of course, liquidity ratios like the quick ratio, that's non-negotiable.
Makes sense. So these are like gauges on the car's dashboard telling you if the engine is overheating.
Exactly.
So once you have that baseline health check, how does the playbook handle actual threats? Let's talk about financial risk assessment.
This is critical because most companies are pretty good at identifying risks.
Yeah.
They have these huge lists of things that could go wrong.
Right, the scary spreadsheet.
Yeah. But the strategic move is quantification. The source recommends you score every risk on a simple matrix. Impact versus probability.
Sure, you're replacing a vague label like high risk with something more concrete like dollar amounts.
Precisely. But here's the step that makes it strategic. You have to tie your mitigation actions directly to your capital allocation. You spend money to fix the risks that are both highly likely and highly damaging.
So if a supply chain failure has, say, a 30% chance of happening and would cost you $5 million.
Then that gives you a very clear budget for what you should spend now on things like finding a second supplier or building up a safety stock. It grounds risk management in financial reality.
I like that. It immediately tells you where to put your resources. Okay, let's move on to the lifeblood of any business, cash flow. We all know cash is king, but what's the optimal strategy here?
The cash flow management recommendation is all about flexibility. It's a two-pronged approach. First, you're constantly optimizing your working capital.
Meaning
you speed up collecting from customers and you slow down paying your suppliers, but without, you know, ruining those relationships. And second, you maintain a pretty substantial rolling cash buffer.
A rolling cash buffer. Okay, but how big? It can't just be an arbitrary number.
Absolutely not. It should never be a random number. This buffer has to be determined through some pretty robust scenario stress tests.
What does that look like?
You model three or four worst case scenarios. a sudden recession, a key supplier goes bankrupt, a major product recall, whatever it is for your business, and then you calculate how much cash you need to survive and keep operating until things stabilize.
That shifts the conversation from how much cash do we have to
how long can we survive.
Yeah.
It's a fundamentally different and much more useful question.
It is.
And one other thing the source really emphasizes is optimizing the cash conversion cycle.
Okay.
Think of it like a stopwatch. How long does it take from the moment you spend a dollar on raw materials to the moment that dollar comes back to you as cash from a customer? Every single day you can shave off that cycle is like finding an interest-free loan for the business.
That focus on immediate health transitions us perfectly into the forward view. We've established that the old way of looking backward is broken, so we need a better crystal ball. The dashboard argues against static planning, what replaces the old annual budget.
The only word that matters here is agility. The big insight in budgeting and forecasting is to replace those static annual budgets, which, let's be honest, are often useless by March.
Oh, absolutely.
With rolling driver-based forecasts. This just means your planning doesn't stop and start every year. It's constantly updated, always looking ahead, say, 12 or 18 months out.
So if the market totally shifts in June, you don't wait until next year's budget cycle. You adjust the plan right then and there. But what does driver-based actually mean in practice?
A driver is just an operational metric that directly impacts a financial outcome. For a manufacturer, it might be the price of steel. For a software company, maybe it's customer churn rate.
I see.
A driver-based model means that if the price of steel goes up 10%, you don't have to manually recalculate everything. The model just instantly shows you the impact on your margins for the next four quarters. It turns your financial plan from a static map into a dynamic GPS.
That makes so much sense. It connects what's actually happening on the ground to the financial forecast. So what kind of structure do these forecasts need?
They have to be scenario driven. You're not just modeling your base case, your best guess. You have to include an optimistic case, a pessimistic case. And this is key sensitivity tables for all of your major assumptions.
So you're not asking, will we hit the target? You're asking.
You're asking, what happens to the target if this variable changes by this much? It forces a much smarter conversation. And of course, this means you're also doing weekly or monthly cash flow forecasts, not just the big annual ones.
Okay, but that level of detail requires some seriously solid financial modeling. How do you build these things so they don't break?
The models have to be built for transparency and reliability. They have to be driver-based, and critically, they have to be auditable. These aren't just throwaway spreadsheets. They're the foundation for massive decisions.
So they need to have those scenario and sensitivity layers baked right in from the start.
Yes. And for valuing big investments, the source points to robust frameworks like discounted cash flow or DCF. Mm-hmm. But a DCF model is only as good as the assumptions you feed into it, which is why the driver-based forecast is the essential starting point.
And what about the integrity piece? How do you keep it all from becoming a mess?
That comes down to rigorous model governance and version control. In a world of rolling forecasts, you simply cannot have multiple versions of the truth floating around. The dashboard is very clear. You need a single controlled source for your financial models. If your team is making a decision based on a model from 6 weeks ago, you're flying blind.
All right, now we get to shift from planning to actually creating value. This is where finance really starts to inform strategy. How does a CFO use this agile view to decide where to invest capital?
This is covered really well under investment analysis. It's about moving beyond just the simple math. So investments are evaluated not just on standard things like net present value, NPV, and internal rate of return, IRR.
Which basically tell you if a project will make money.
Right, but also on strategic fit and risk-adjusted returns.
What does that mean in practical terms? It sounds like you need more than just the number.
Oh, you absolutely do. The recommendation is to stress test the projected cash flows using those same scenarios we talked about. And, just as important, using a strategic alignment checklist.
A checklist.
Yeah. Does this investment actually move us closer to our big picture corporate goal? If a project has a fantastic IRR, but it takes the company way outside its core business, the dashboard says you should probably pass on it. The goal is return, yes, but return within the context of your overall mission.
Let's talk profitability. This is often where the most painful, but also the most important analysis happens. Where should a finance team focus beyond just the top line income statement?
The profitability analysis section is, I think, the most powerful insight in the whole guide. The instruction is very clear. CFOs must drill down to product, channel, and most critically, customer level profitability.
Wow. All the way down to a single customer or a single SKU. Why is that level of detail so essential?
Because the 80-20 rule can run in reverse when you look at costs. You might find that your 20% biggest customers are actually destroying your margins because they demand so much custom work or sales support.
Ouch.
Yeah. And if you're only looking at the aggregate P&L, you'd never know. You are basically subsidizing your unprofitable customers with the profits from your good ones.
And that forces a really tough conversation about pricing and strategy.
It has to. That granular view is what guides your decisions on pricing, on which products to promote, on where to put your best salespeople. The dashboard insists on tracking contribution margin and using these customer or SKU profitability slices as mandatory metrics.
Got it. Okay, last thing in this section. How does the dashboard recommend controlling non-essential spending? Expense creep can just kill margins.
The expense management piece advocates for discipline through what it calls zero-based checks for non-core spending.
Can you give me a real-world example? What's a zero-based check?
Okay, so instead of saying the travel budget was $1 million last year, so let's make it $1.05 million this year, a zero-based check starts at zero.
Literally zero.
Literally zero. The budget owner has to justify every single dollar by explaining the specific need, the expected return, and whether a cheaper alternative like a video call would work just as well. It forces accountability for every discretionary dollar.
This whole structure is built to provide information for action. But the best strategy in the world is useless if you can't communicate it clearly, especially to the board. How should a CFO talk to stakeholders with all this data?
The board presentation recommendation is all about flipping the sequence. The goal is to tell a concise story that leads to a decision. The key structure is implications first, data second.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. Finance leaders, we naturally want to lead with the charts and the methodology. The dashboard says no, lead with the consequence.
So instead of starting with a slide showing a 4% margin decline, you start with the headline, "We need to immediately change our sales strategy in this region to avoid losing $5 million.
Precisely. The board shouldn't need a translator to figure out the so what. The presentation has to include clear recommendations, quantified risks, and an action plan with names next to the action items. The goal is clarity, so the board can approve the plan, not spend an hour digging through spreadsheets.
Makes sense. Let's shift to internal integrity. What does the checklist recommend to protect the organization from, well, itself?
That's all in the internal audit checklist. It's about strengthening the control environment to reduce reporting errors and, frankly, fraud risk. In this kind of high-speed, rolling forecast world, controls can easily start to break down.
So what are the practical steps here?
It means doing a thorough control environment assessment regularly. Are people skipping approval steps? You need to do sample tests on things like procurement or payroll to check for compliance, not just at year-end, but continuously. You're just protecting the integrity of the data that's feeding that whole beautiful dashboard.
And finally, the guide briefly touches on tax planning and compliance. That sounds a little less strategic, but I'm guessing it's huge for cash management.
It's a massive lever for cash efficiency. It's about moving from just reactive filing to meet deadlines to using tax strategy proactively. The Force recommends building a detailed tax calendar and actively tracking all your available credits and deductions. You're not just filing paperwork, you're legally using the tax code to improve your cash position.
This has been a really fascinating look at the transformation required of a modern CFO. To summarize the big takeaway for you, this CFO dashboard is really a roadmap that demands speed with weekly KPIs, true agility with rolling forecasts, and incredible depth with that customer-level profitability analysis.
And if you tie it all together, the whole structure is designed to prove and validate that you're creating value. The templates for things like the strategic financial plan explicitly recommend tying every major initiative to a measurable outcome. You have to track the ROI, you have to measure the impact, and you have to prove the strategy is actually working. It just removes the subjectivity from big spending decisions.
Which brings us to our final provocative thought for you to take away. If the goal is truly to move from reporting to strategic value creation, how consistently are your organization's resource allocation decisions, everything from marketing spend to new investments, being weighted, first and foremost, by quantifiable strategic returns exactly as this dashboard recommends? That alignment, or the lack of it, is really the ultimate test of strategic financial leadership today.